And McKenzie going to follow his blockers into the end zone. Touchdown. Burks under center. Deep back Jake McKenzie. Pitch to McKenzie. He's going to throw the ball. Got a man wide open out of the backfield. Reed, and he's gone. Touchdown. This is the Final Word Podcast as we get set for Tennessee Tech visiting the Nest in Kennesaw State in the home opener for 2017. Part of your humble radio crew here, Brian Giffen, along with the newest member of our radio crew, Brandon Joseph. Teuton's moved over to that other medium this week, so you get pressed into service as an analyst. Nathan McCreary has a speaking engagement, so it's Justice, as in Just Us.
Yeah, Just Us. Teuton gets, I guess, a promotion to do TV work.
That is in the eyes of the beholder.
Yeah, you know, it all depends on how you see it, but I'm honored to be here. Thank you for having me.
Well, it's good to have you here, and we look forward to having you with us at multiple times during the season. And obviously the Owls are coming off a tough opening loss over at Samford, a game that I think to a man, most of them would tell you they feel they should have won. They dominated the first. How many times do you go into halftime of a game and you have a 330-95 edge in yardage, but you've stubbed your toe in the red zone a couple times, you've turned the ball over a couple of times, so the game remains close. Then you have the freakish, unorthodox three-hour weather delay that happens. And, you know, Coach Bohannon and I talked about this on Tuesday. The home team has a distinct advantage in a case like that because they're in their own facility. They can retape. They can change clothes. They can do a lot of things. The Owls, on the other hand, get shoved kind of into a hot box, non-air-conditioned locker room to just sit around and wait, and it obviously took a toll.
Yeah, the Owls were limited on what they could bring on the bus as far as amenities. You don't have the extra tape. You don't really have the space to take off your pads, get comfortable. Meanwhile, Samford had that, and that definitely did play a toll in the second half, but it's a game where Coach Bohannon looked at the stat sheet, and you just have to wonder, how do we lose this game? You beat them in every category you need to beat them, but the final score.
Well, and when you look back at the game, it's a perfect example, and this is to take nothing, by the way, away from Samford, who was ranked 19th coming into the season. They've got a sterling home record over the last several years. But going back to what you just said a moment ago, you know, the stats don't always tell the story. And an old coach told me a long time ago, it isn't necessarily who you play, it's how you play. And Coach Bohannon made the point on Tuesday that he felt like the Owls let this one get away. It's more about Kennesaw State than it is about the opponent.
Yeah, you game planned perfectly. The only thing you didn't do was you didn't execute what you need to execute. Two missed field goals. Now, the touchdown play in the corner of the end zone, yeah, it should have been a touchdown, but it wasn't. So you can't let that define it, but it does take points off the board. They got zero on that drive, so that's missing three or six or seven or eight. We don't know. But those things you need to control because Samford was not the better team that night. And I think they know they escaped with the victory, and that's beneficial for them. But for the Owls, a lot of great takeaways.
Owls take on Tennessee Tech in the home opener Saturday night. That'll, if you want to listen to it, you can pick it up in the Atlanta area, of course, on 1230 The Fan 2 and 106.3 FM. Pre-game coverage will begin at 6:30 with the kick between the Owls and Golden Eagles to follow at 7 o'clock. And, of course, online, you can pick this up on AtlantaSportsStation.com. So, not much you can do about the first week other than learn from it and get better. And coaches will always tell you, usually the most improvement a team will make or the best way to judge a team is how much improvement they make between week one and week two.
Yeah, you don't want one loss to compound into two or three or four losses. So that's the whole focus now coming into this week. Refocus, re-execute, and don't let a game last Thursday affect you on Saturday.
One of the side effects, of course, of the long delay, and we really saw it late in the first, in the second half of that game, just the little nagging type injuries, the sprains, pulls, cramps, that kind of thing. A number of key Owl players left that game, and particularly in the fourth quarter of it. So it'll be interesting to see how many of those guys are able to go, and of course, how close to 100% they are.
It would be a next man up theory, and Coach Brandon has preached that the next guy will always have to step up when the starter's down or when the backup's down. The third guy on the depth chart has to move up, and I think they're confident in that despite the little nagging injuries. it's not going to affect their game planning too much.
The one that concerns you probably the most, at least for me, is Matt Frank, who, of course, left. That really wasn't related to the delay. He got his shoulder nicked up in the first half of that game and didn't return. And so Matt Frank, the reason I bring that up, of course, not only is he a solid offensive lineman for the Owls, but there's really that's probably one area where your starters are pretty good, but there's a lot of unproven depth there, or maybe a lack of depth, at least at this point, because a lot of guys are really young.
Yeah, on the official depth chart, I believe on the left side they have who is a tight end listed as a backup, so you don't want to have to go to those twos, and your offensive line is 95% the reason why you are able to make plays in this type of spread option offense.
Yeah, such a key part of the entire process. One of the things I thought was a positive in the Samford game, the outcome notwithstanding, the fact that, you know, the Owls had a pretty good-sized question mark at center with the departure of Malik Letitau, but C.J. Collins started, and the Owls did a pretty good job in that position on Thursday night.
Yeah, the center sets the line, and C.J. Collins did a great job of not just setting the line and the guys to his left and right, but actually getting off the ball. And sometimes centers have a hard time snapping the ball and getting off and getting to their blocks. Collins did a great job versus Samford on Thursday.
You know, other points that that we talked about a little bit earlier, that you look at the stat sheet and you can't understand how you lost the game. And I guess one of the byproducts of that is, boy, a number of guys had really good openers for Kennesaw State. Career day for Jake McKenzie on one hand. Chandler Burks had a great game in a number of ways. Bronson Recksteiner had a good game. Bryson Armstrong had a good game. And all of those guys are going to be counted on to do so the entire season.
Six guys rushing, seven different guys catching passes. A lot of guys able to be spread amongst the love of the offense. And that's a great thing because it keeps the other teams guessing. And when you have that ability, it just adds another factor that teams can't game plan for.
Another thing Coach Bohannon lauded was how well, you know, that the team played on defense. I mean, yeah, you're going to give up some scores because that's the nature of the sport, especially a wide open level like this. But the defense, by and large, held the rope pretty well for the 60 minutes, a couple of plays here and there notwithstanding.
And you take a look at where the defense played really well at was when you needed to – when you needed them to in the fourth quarter, when you needed that stop, they got you a stop and gave you an opportunity to get back in the game and try to win it.
Going to be an interesting matchup from the standpoint of scheme. And what I'm getting at is that Tennessee Tech kind of runs a pro style, both offense and defense. There's some balance. Their quarterbacks like to sling it around a little bit. But they like to run the ball quite a bit.
Yeah, they do like to run the ball. They had four different guys with over 400 yards rushing last year. The biggest thing for Tennessee Tech is the quarterback position. Andre Sale replaces Michael Birdsong, who had 17 touchdown passes and over 2,500 yards passing for the Golden Eagles. And that's the tough thing, that a redshirt freshman making a second-ever career collegiate start is going to be something that it plays in the back of their mind. And their head coach, Marcus Satterfield, said that he didn't play all that well, but he's still learning.
Well, and if you look at their first game, a 41-14 loss to Western Illinois, who we should point out also was ranked coming into the season, I believe 25th. But so they were pounded at home 41-14, and one of the problems they had in particular was a sluggish offense. I mean, the 14 points kind of speak for themselves, but if you look at the stat sheet and you listen to Coach Satterfield, they struggled offensively, and that's something that Brian Newberry and company are probably paying a lot of attention to on film.
Yeah, he said that they got outmanned, outworked, out-toughed, and that's, if you're the Owls, that's something that you love to hear, because what does your offense do to other teams' defense? You wear them out. It makes it a test of manhood, makes it a test of toughness. And for their offense, it's, you weren't able to move the ball very well. And if you're the Kennesaw's defense, you like to pounce on teams because that means they have so many options to pounce on them, and the offense of the opposing team only has so many times that they get the ball, with Kennesaw's offense being able to eat the clock like they do.
On the defensive side for the Owls, it's another concern, kind of like we referenced with Matt Frank a little bit ago, the status of Tenarius Portress. Obviously, he and Desmond Johnson are really bedrocks along the defensive line for the Owls, and they got really good play from the interior also. But his status and his ability to go has to be a large question mark at this point.
Yeah, you need all those guys on that defensive line to be able to get in there and disrupt, especially a pro style that likes to be balanced. You win those games in those trenches by getting those linemen in the backfield, by putting pressure on the quarterback, by eating up the running back and isolating part of their game. And without that on the defensive line for the Owls, it could create a question mark.
You know, the mantra for Coach Bohannon and his staff since they got here, since the program was founded, protect the nest. We happen to be sitting here recording this podcast at Fifth Third Bank Stadium. For one, a couple of weeks ago we were here, the field didn't look very good, but you look out there now, it looks outstanding.
Yeah.
And the Owls have always gotten an emotional high when they've played here, and you'd figure they'd be sky high for the home opener, especially with the added motivation of coming off a loss in a game you feel like you should have won.
Yeah, this is the ability to set the season for them to walk in here on Saturday night, a night game, and to take an opponent and really impose your will upon is what they want to do. They want to have that feeling that this is where our season begins, because the loss aside to Samford, you really showed some positive things that you are able to make noise in the Big South and at this level of football.
And I think from the Tennessee Tech perspective, the one of the first objectives for them would be don't get overwhelmed. Don't come out and give up an avalanche and get buried early in the game. Stay the course, get a couple of stops early, take the crowd out of it a little bit, and then make it a 60-minute football game.
And that's what we've seen from a lot of visiting teams. They make mistakes early, then all of a sudden you look at the scoreboard, it's 14-0, it's 21-0, and then they have to throw the game plan out, and then it's caution to the wind, and then before the game's over, it's 55-10, because the Owls are just able to pounce or stay within themselves, and that's all testament to the crowd and the environment here that gets created at the Nest.
You know, hearing some of the comments from Coach Satterfield this week, another point he made that I found interesting, but I think also is spot on, is that, you know, and he referenced Georgia Southern when they ran the option. He referenced Georgia Tech along with Kennesaw State. The point he made was that, you know, these teams typically just don't lose unless they turn the ball over and make mistakes. And I would think that after the loss in the opener, that would be objective one for Kennesaw State. Don't make mistakes. Don't beat yourself.
Yeah, the easiest way to lose the game is to cost yourself to lose the game, and that's regardless of what the other team does. If you give them the ball, you're taking points off of your scoreboard and putting it on theirs, and that's what they do well. Control the ball in terms of time of possession and not giving the ball away.
A couple of big priorities, I think, and Coach made this point Tuesday. Make your field goals. You got, and the 50s, yeah, of course, you're going to make a lower percentage of those, but the, you know, the 25, 30, 40 yard field goals, you got to make those. And if you look at the history of some of the losses in this building, the handful that there have been, execute in the red zone. They did a pretty good job of that, the field goals, again, notwithstanding last Thursday. But execute in the red zone. You look at the ETSU game last year, execution in the red zone, getting stopped in a goal line stand, that happened again last Thursday. You got to go down there, and when you have the opportunity, you've got to cash in your opportunities. And, you know, Jake McKenzie had a great game. They moved him into that short yardage role, and you hope to continue that against Tennessee Tech here Saturday.
Yeah, a lot of schools, whether it be your primary passing offense or primary running option, have trouble in the red zone, just because if you're a passing team, it gives you that extra boundary to defend. Or if you're a running team like Kennesaw State, you're able to load the box because it is such short space there. And for the Owls, that's been their problem for the last 3 years. That short yardage, red zone scoring situations, they're able to get first downs when they're away from the field because they always have that element to be able to pass. But that's something they need to work on. Jake McKenzie will have to take over that role, and with him being a former quarterback, gives them another threat, another option that team have to look. When Jake McKenzie's back there, when Four's under center in those red zone, there's still an option to throw it.
By the way, I'll tease it here. You visited with Jake McKenzie on our pregame show that will air beginning at 6:30 on 12:30 The Fan 2 and AtlantaSportsStation.com. It really enjoyed that. He's a cerebral kid.
Yeah, really smart kid. You can tell by just looking in his eyes when he's talking about football, he's running scenarios back in his head. And that's all you can ask for a player, a guy who loves the game and loves to think about the game.
Well, and he's one of the leaders on this team and has really emerged in that role. And then, of course, Nathan McCreary, who will be on the sidelines for us Saturday, also had Desmond Johnson on and spoke to Desmond. And one of the things that the theme we got from both those guys is nobody's more ticked and feels more like they let a game get away they should have won than the players.
Yeah, the players really felt that delay aside. They came out at the start of the third quarter and cost themselves the game. And that third quarter was the breaking point for the Owls, and the players took it on themselves that we should have done everything correctly because we were coached correctly leading into the game. And if you're Coach Bohannon, that's what you love to hear. You love to walk in that locker room and see those players saying, it's on us. They did their job. Now we have to go do ours.
Well, we look forward to you being here in the analyst role Saturday, and it's going to be a big adjustment for some of us to not have to wait for the limo and the helicopter to pull up with two in it.
You know,
you're more of a lunch pail guy.
You know, Tuton shows up in style all the time.
Yeah, that's right.
So I just hope to live up to his ability to call the game. But no, I'm not going to show up in the limo. I'm not going to have the helicopter parked outside.
I'm waiting for the year he gets his own jet. Instead of Air Force One, it'll be Tuton One.
You know?
And they'll have to find a landing strip near these venues where these games are to get him in there on time. Well, that will pretty much do it for this one. We are looking forward to the ball game, obviously. The Owls hosting Tennessee Tech. Again, we'll tease all the broadcast times for you. That is Saturday night, and that is here at Fifth Third Bank Stadium as the Owls look to protect the nest for the first time in 2017 against Tennessee Tech. Pregame coverage begins 6:30 Eastern with a kick between the Owls and the Golden Eagles following around 7 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. For Brandon Joseph, I'm Brian Giffen, and we're very pleased to bring you the final word. Please join us Saturday. So long, everybody. Pressure comes, and
Locked,
it's blocked.
Go.
It'll roll down toward the end zone. It'll go out of bounds at about the 4. And the Owls make the special teams play, and the far sideline comes to life over there.